Good morning, Linda Road family. Well, I'm in my backyard again, and of course you're at home at your place of worship, hopefully sheltered in peace. This morning we're going to be doing something a little bit different. Instead of us beginning with a devotional thought for the Lord's Supper, I'm going to begin with my sermon, and then we're going to end our time together with the Lord's Supper, and there's a reason for that. Hopefully you'll be able to see it at the end of the lesson. Anyway, we're here and we are together worshiping God to one another. And this message that I have to share with you is one that I think is important for us today. You know, obviously we're in the midst of a time where the coronavirus dominates the news cycle and so forth. It's all that you hear talking about. So much so that even when you have a 6.5, you know, earthquake, it becomes almost a welcome distraction other than something that is really bad. I mean, everyone was laughing about it. We're almost happy that it happened to us. And there's some good reasons for that, because when you talk about the coronavirus, you know, it's a serious thing. It's a real thing. And of course, we're trying to stave off some of the devastation of what this thing can do. In fact, we're being told by the news outlets, as well as the president and the surgeon general, that, you know, this virus is going to have a devastating effect upon our nation, upon our economy. And what is worse than that, it's going to have a devastating effect on life itself. And that is terrible. That just discourages us. It's one that just really gets us down when we think about how bad this thing could actually be. And so I was thinking to myself, what is it that the world needs to hear today? What is it that maybe you need to hear today? And I thought to myself, what we probably need to hear more than anything in the world is a message of hope. Hope is so important. Hope is what keeps us moving forward in our lives. So what does the word hope mean? Well, the word hope is a feeling of expectation. It's a feeling that something that we want or desire, it can be had, or the feeling that an event or a situation will eventually come out to the best. That's what we look at when we think about the idea of hope. It reminds me of an older comic strip that was in the newspaper of Calvin and Hobbes. And in this one comic strip, Calvin is speaking to Hobbes, and Calvin says to Hobbes in one of the frames, he says, you know what? He goes, live for the moment is going to be my motto from here out, because you never know how long you've got. And then in the next frame, he says, you don't know. He says, you can be walking down the street and step out into the street tomorrow, and wham, you know, a cement truck hits you and it's over with. And so I'm going to live for the moment. Well, he looks at Hobbes, he goes, so Hobbes, what's going to be your motto? And Hobbes says, my motto is, I'm going to look down the road first. Well, you know what? Let me ask you this serious question. Are you looking down the road? And if you are looking down the road, what is it that you see? Do you see a hope-filled tomorrow? Do you see a hope-filled future? What do you see? Here's another question for you. When you think about your own life, would you say that you are an optimistic person or a pessimistic person? Because how you view either optimism or pessimism really has a lot to do with how you view what hope is really all about. Hope is something that everyone needs, everyone desires, everyone wants in life. Everyone wants to be able to look down the road and see that there is a hope-filled tomorrow, a hope-filled eternity, if you will. So what kind of person would you say you are? If you would say that, well, I'm a pessimistic person, well, there are some people that are just naturally pessimistic. That's their temperament. A pessimistic person is a person that builds the bridge before anything even happens. They think the worst of all things. An optimistic person, well, that's a person who looks at life in terms of, you know, I'm going to build a bridge. If there's a chasm that is there, a difficulty that is, I'm going to build a bridge over, or I'm going to find a way around the obstacle. But they look at things on a brighter side of life. Two people look differently at a rose bush when you talk about pessimistic and optimistic people. Some people look at a rose bush and all they can see is the thorns going up the stem to the rose. Others don't look at the stem or the thorns there. They look at the rose itself and the petals and the beauty of it. One person looks at the dark side of a cloud. Another person looks at the silver lining. So different people look at, you know, life in different kinds of ways in terms of being optimistic or pessimistic about a life. And so when it comes to our lives as Christians, how do you see your life? How do you see down the road of life? Well, hope has a lot to do with how we view life and how we look at life. And so the theme of hope in life is one where it helps us to address the different kinds of things that are thrown at us in life. When we're filled with fear, we need hope to know that God's presence and His power, you know, is going to be with us. When we are faced with pain or illnesses, we need God's hope that He cares about what's going on with us and that He is aware of the things that are going on in our lives. When we have a bad situation or difficult situation like that that's ongoing and long, like this coronavirus thing, well, we want to know that God is going to be there with us and that God can overcome evil and that we can become victors. And when this world is almost lost its mind and thrown into a sense of panic or a state of panic, then we need the hope to know that, you know, that God is in control, that God knows what's going on here, and that God is sovereign and in control of all things. But hope, you know, it doesn't just rest on the way our culture seems to be drifting, whether it's good or bad. Our hope is supposed to be a lot different. And so how do people look at hope? Well, you know, people, when it comes to hope, they place their hope, or maybe I should say they misplace their hope in some things that are not so good. For instance, some people place their hope in, say, the stock market. Well, our stock market today is kind of wobbly right now. People are feeling pretty insecure about the direction that the stock market is going. Rather than going up, the thing seems to be sliding down. How far will it slide? We don't know. But sometimes people put their hope in their stocks because it has a lot to do with their 401ks. It has a lot to do with their mutual funds and their annuities and those kinds of things. Maybe some of you can think back to, if you're alive back then, or maybe you've read it in history, on October the 29th, 1929, which was called Black Friday, the stock market crashed. It was so terrible, the crash was, that there were men who were jumping out of skyscraper windows to their deaths. There were people who were shooting themselves. Why was that? Well, it was because they had put their hopes in their bank accounts. They put their hopes in the stocks that they own, and they couldn't see any way out beyond that loss. Some people, you know, the young, they put their hopes in being famous one day. You know, they watch entertainers on TV and they think that those people are super happy and that they have it all together, or they look at professional athletes and you think, you know, that's where I want to be, and so forth. So some people say it's fame is a thing. But did you know, being an entertainer, it's really a fleeting kind of thing. I mean, you might be the big stuff one day, but some years down the line, you're just another person. Did you know that the vast, vast, vast majority of entertainers, they don't go a long time? There are some icons that are out there who have a longevity in their art and so forth, but for the most part, most don't. And even when it comes to professional athletes, well, they're very talented men and women, but you know what? They only have a certain amount of shelf time. In other words, by the time they're into their early 30s, maybe mid-30s, they're out of business onto another career, and they're soon forgotten altogether. There are some that have longevity, like Tom Brady, who plays into his 40s, but the vast majority are over in their 30s. And so some people put their hopes in that, and then all of a sudden that thing is gone and taken away from them. Some put their hopes in family, which is not a bad thing. Some put their hopes in careers, not a bad thing. Some put their hopes in health, that's not a bad thing. Some put their hopes in government. And I'm saying that's a bad thing. In fact, you know, I think our government, when it comes down to our present situation today, I think that they're doing everything that they can. I think they're really trying hard. They want the very best for our nation. But the truth of the matter is that, you know, they're not going to fix this thing. We're responding to it, much like we do a head cold. If you get a head cold, you take Tylenol or ibuprofen for a headache, or you take, you know, if you got a cough, you take some suppressant, or if you have a sinuses, then you take some Mucinex, you take something. You simply just treat the symptoms, but you can't cure the common cold. And when it comes down to this COVID virus, well, they're treating the symptoms. We haven't come up with a vaccine that knocks the thing out. You know, it just hasn't happened. So they're treating symptoms, helping them to get by critical moments to maybe a better health. My point is simply this, is that when you put your hopes in things of that nature, you might find yourself in trouble pretty quickly. And so we have a better hope. We have, as Christians, as children of God, we have a different kind of hope. We have a hope that goes far beyond this present situation. We have a hope that goes beyond this physical life. We have a hope that extends far beyond any of those kinds of things. And we need to. For instance, it needs to go beyond this physical life. And the reason is because, well, physical life is really fleeting. James said over in his epistles that our life is but a vapor that's here today and soon vanishes away. And so you have no hope or no promise of a great longevity in life. Because life, even at the longest, is a fleeting kind of thing. And so whether you live for another week or whether you live for 90 years, at one manner or another, eventually all of us die. Could be that we'll fall asleep quietly and pass away. Or maybe we could die tragically in an accident. Some may die of a heart attack or because of cancer or diabetes. And yes, some might even die from COVID-19. But in one manner or another, eventually we're all going to die. And so our hope has to be in something different. And so how are you doing when it comes down to looking down the road? What do you see when you look down the road and you look down at life and the things that are there before us? I just want you to know that there is some hope that is given to us. And so I don't know if you know this or not. You probably do. But you know, the word hope is used like 63 times in the New Testament. Well, that tells me that the subject of hope is one that everyone is in need of. And it tells me that it's an important subject, that we need to have something to hold onto, to anchor ourselves to, that it becomes a place of refuge for us and a place of peace and happiness. And hope plays a huge role in that. And so let me just share with you several passages that I've taken out of those 63 that maybe could be helpful to you. The first is this, is that the scriptures tell us that Christ is our hope. Colossians, the first chapter in verse 27 says these words, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I've chosen that first verse there because Christ is our hope. And without him, we would not have any hope at all, not only in this life, but in the life to come. You know, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, probably a favorite of many of you, is John the 10th chapter and verse 10. There Jesus said to his audience, he said to them, he says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly, not only in this time, but in that age to come. What a comforting passage of Scripture. It tells us about a lot of things that steal our joy away from us. The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If you leave your house vacant and a burglar comes in there and begins to just go through your house and steal all kinds of items out of your house, when you come home, you're going to feel violated. When you come home, you're going to be discouraged. When you come home, you're going to feel, you're not going to be at peace. Your joy is going to be gone. Your happiness is not there. It's really going to disturb you a lot. Satan comes into our lives in manifold ways that are there to dishearten us. Could be that even this disease, because of a fallen world in which we live and sin has entered into it, we're fighting, the groanings of this earth that involves famine and earthquakes and plagues and things of that nature. Those things can steal your joy. They can steal your happiness. They can steal your comfort. They can steal your peace. Jesus said, that's what thieves are about, but that's not why I came. I came that you might have life and have it in abundance. When you talk about life there, he's not talking about just biological life. It includes that. But the word that he uses there is a word that transcends the physical life. And so when he talks about the abundance, he's not really talking about having better houses or better cars or eating better food or maybe even staying healthy. It might involve some of that. But more than likely, when he talks about the abundant life, he's talking about the life that has to do with the fact that, we are forgiven of our sins, that we are called the children of God, that we are seen by God as holy and blameless, that we are redeemed, that we've been given the Holy Spirit, that we have been promised the resurrection and eternal life with him. That's abundant life. The abundant life is joy and peace and comfort and happiness. That's the kind of abundance that I believe Jesus is talking about. But even more so than that, it transcends that which is going on right here in the here and now, but it goes all the way down the road into eternity. That's what I believe Jesus is driving at. I came that you might have life, not only now in the present, but you can have life even as we go forward down the road. And that centers around the idea of hope. back to our passage, Colossians 1 and verse 27, he reminds us that this hope is in us because of Christ in us. That's the knowledge that brings us hope. And notice he says that it's the hope of glory. So what is this hope that is there? It's Christ in us that gives us the hope of glory. He's talking about down the road, looking far down the road into eternity itself, I believe even to heaven itself, which will be an incredible place full of glory with our glorified bodies. That's a great promise that comes from that passage of Scripture. Let me share another one with you. It's found in Romans 15 and verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Since God is our source of hope, then what he's telling is that, well, what does this hope exist in? What does it consist of? Well, it consists of joy and peace, he says, in the Holy Spirit. So I know there's those who say the Holy Spirit doesn't work anything beyond the Word, but that's not what this passage says here. It says that there is joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. This verse is telling us that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be filled with joy and peace. And this joy and peace, that says to me that it cannot be something that is determined by circumstance or event. It's talking about a state of mind. It's talking about a relationship that we have with God and with Jesus and with the Spirit. It's talking about that kind of thing. Otherwise, Paul could not be in a prison and then say these words in Philippians 4, verses 4 through 6. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be made known unto all men that the Lord is where? That he is near. And then he says, don't be anxious for anything. But everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And what? And the peace of God that passes all understanding and comprehension shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. So the hope that I'm talking about is a hope that's filled with joy, a hope that's filled with peace. And it's one that Jesus talks about and Paul talks about. Listen, people everywhere are trying to find joy and happiness and peace, sometimes in the wrong places. But we know that the lasting joy and peace comes from within. And it comes from within because we have a relationship with God our Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. We can be hope because God and His Son is the Savior. That Jesus Christ is Savior. Now, when we talk about that, think about the Savior. He is the Lord of Lords. He's King of Kings. He is the creator of everything that you see around us. John, the first chapter, verses 2 and 3 says, everything that has been made has been made by Him, and that which has not been made hasn't been made. He is the creator of all those things. Or think back to that passage of Scripture that we looked at last week in Psalm 46 and verse 1, where it says, where is our strength and refuge? God is a very present help in times of trouble. We will not fear. And then in verse 11, it says, be still and know that I am God. God's in control. We serve a God that is omnipresent and omnipowerful. And that is the God of our hope. And He's the one in which we can put our trust in. You see, hope is something that keeps us moving forward. Hope keeps us going forward. A couple of weeks ago, you know, our Congress, they signed a bill or sent a bill to the president's desk called a stimulus package. It was a stimulus package of $2 trillion, and President Trump, he signed that. That stimulus package was to stimulate the economy. It was to put hope back in the economy, hope back into the stock market, hope back into our hearts. $2 trillion, I can't even get my mind around $2 trillion. You know, that's just so much money that's beyond most of our expectation. But the vast majority of that $2 trillion, you and I, you know, we're not gonna see it. I mean, if you were a single person that has filed, then, you know, and haven't made more than $75,000 or something like that, you're gonna get $1,200. If you have one child, you'll get $500. If you get 200, you'll get another $500. And so you'll get $1,200 and maybe another $1,000 if you have children, $1,500 if you have three children, and so forth. If you're a couple that files jointly and you don't make more than, I think, $150,000, then you're going to get $2,400. Here's the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is that probably $1,200 or $2,400, no one's going to get rich. No one's going to be pushed way down the line, but it's a stimulant. It's to give us a little bit of hope. It's to move us forward a little bit. I want you to know that there is a stimulus package that has come to us from heaven that is built around the idea of hope. Listen to 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten to us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So we have this stimulus, this hope that has been given to us that says, don't give up now in the present. Don't give up with the circumstance you're going through, no matter what. Realize that you have a hope, a living hope. It's not a dead hope. It's a living hope that has been given to us and guaranteed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He says it's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It is something that cannot be erased. It's there for us in heaven. So we have this hope that is given to us. It's not a false hope, but it's something that is a real hope. Listen to Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verses 18 through 19. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who had fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters within the veil. He's talking about Jesus Christ going in as the perfect sacrifice. And that hope becomes a living hope. It becomes a hope that is steadfast. It becomes a hope that is sure. It becomes an anchor for our soul. You see, God is a God of mercy. And he sets this hope before us because he loves us. And so when life storms are blowing about us and the waters become huge, he tells us we have an anchor that is sure, that is steadfast, and it's built around the hope of what Jesus Christ has done for us in incredible ways. You know, oftentimes, you know, as I get older, I think more about eternity. I think more about heaven. I know I'm closer to the end of my life than I was a year ago. And so sometimes I sit and I ponder this and I think about being in heaven and walking the streets of heaven. Being in the presence of God and Jesus Christ who died for me, to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit and all the angels and the divine beings that are there, and all the faithful saints who have given their lives to God and have, you know, have earned their reward or received their reward. I think about talking to the first man and first woman, to talk to Noah, to talk to Abraham and Sarah and Moses and Joshua and Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and so many others, to talk with Peter and talk with Paul and James and John, and to talk with our loved ones, to talk with Hugh Newcomb, who passed away just last Monday, you know, and to know that one day I'll get to see him again, to be able to see my dad again, to see my mother now. You know, that's going to be a glorious thing. And that's because of this stimulus that has been given to us, this hope that has been given to us in Christ Jesus. And then you see over in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, in verse 13, now it says, now abideth faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And in that section there, you see the difference between faith and hope. Faith is what gets men going. Hope is what keeps them going. It's what keeps them moving along. And so we can continue on. We can continue to move on in our lives, to live in hope. And we're able to live in hope because of what is promised before us. Listen to 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it has not appeared to us what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, speaking of Jesus, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. So we have the hope beyond this life that Jesus said was going to be abundant. We have this hope beyond this life and heaven itself. When we received our new bodies, our transformed bodies, our resurrected bodies, we will be like him. And he says, this is a hope that is given to us that is sure. And it says that this hope causes a person to purify himself as He is pure. It helps us to become better people. It helps us to be more loving, more caring, more understanding. It helps us to be more confident. It helps us to be more hope-filled about what's down the road. And that should mean everything to us. It's a living hope. There's a song that we sing. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure as the billows roll. Grounded to the rock that cannot move. Grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. I'm not sure I got all that song right. But what I did get right is that our hope has a future. And that it's grounded in what Jesus Christ did for us. And it's been given to us that's steadfast. And it's sure. As we look down the road, we have this hope that is given for us. I hope that you're encouraged by that. That you're not like Calvin, you know, who says, you know what, I'm going to live life for the moment. Well, no, you can live life in the moment, but you can look confidently down the road in the future. That God has things under control. So that's my lesson for you today. And that's why also I shared it with you and why we've kind of moved the Lord's Supper down near the end, because I want you to understand that when you talk about the Lord's Supper and this time of communing together with one another, it's more than just, you know, eating a little piece of bread and drinking a little cup of wine. It's more than that. It's a supper that was designed to help us to look down the road in a hope-filled kind of way. There's another song that we sing. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ is in His righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sifting sand. All other ground is sinking sand. You know, when you think about that, my hope is built on nothing less but on Jesus' blood and His righteousness. I'm not going to trust on any other thing because it's all sinking sand. So my hope and my trust is not in the stock market or in my bank account. That's sinking sand. It's not going to be whether I'm going to be famous or not. That, too, is sinking sand. It's not, you know, in my health, because eventually that will go away. That, too, is sinking sand. No, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So this morning we're going to look back down the road to that cross on which Jesus hung. A sinless person who never had one wrong thought or wrong action or wrong word in his life. A perfect man who hung on the cross. And I'm going to look down that road and I'm going to see him hanging on that cross. And I'm going to see that blood, that righteous blood that came from his head and his feet and his hands and from his side, that it was shed for me so that I could have the forgiveness of sin, so that I could have the hope, so that I could have the hope that I would be, that I'm redeemed, that I can be hope, have the hope that I have been forgiven, that I can have the hope that I am holy and blameless in the sight of God, that I can have the hope that I'm a child of God, that I can have the hope that one day after my death, I'll resurrect from the grave, that I have the hope of eternal life. I have this hope because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. And so as I think back to the Lord's Supper and that which we are about to partake of, let your mind go back there. Go back, let it take you back to the road, back to the cross. And then let it be a road as you look forward to the future as you partake of these emblems. So we're going to begin by taking of the bread. So let's offer thanks for the bread. I'll give you a moment to, after the prayer, to do so, and then we'll give the offering or give the thanks for the next element. So let's pray for the bread. Our Father in heaven, as we think about Jesus Christ on the cross, as our minds take us back that on that road 2,000 years ago, we see Him hanging there, the perfect Son of God, a human being who had no sin whatsoever in His life, who left heaven, who came to earth to die on the cross for me and for my brethren. We give You our thanks, Father, as we partake of this bread that represents His body. Help us to do so, Father, with that in mind and with that hope in mind. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's take a moment to give thanks for the fruit of the vine, which represents his blood. Jesus said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sins." Let's pray for the fruit of the vine and the cup that represents his blood. Our great God and Holy Father, we're so very thankful, Father, for our Savior. We're thankful, Father, for his willingness to come from heaven to earth, to live as a man, Father, to live it perfectly, and then to die upon the cross. As we look, Father, back down that road and see the blood that is being shed from his head and his hands and his feet and from his side, help us to be mindful, Father, of that sacrifice and that cleansing that has come because of that blood and that hope that has been given to us. Help us to do so, Father, in a way that is mindful of that fact and mindful of that hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Separate and apart, of course, from the Lord's Supper is our opportunity to give back to the Lord that which he has blessed us with. God has been gracious to us. He certainly has made our life abundant. Jesus has fulfilled that promise to us in manifold ways. And so at this time, we're going to give back to God. Let me remind you, there are several ways you can do this with our separation like this. One is you can write a check and send it in by mail to the church building. Or two, you can get on the web page and you can electronically give in that way. Or the third way is that you can lay by and store so that when we come back, you can make up that offering that you would have gave throughout the weeks. And so that's several ways that you can give of your main means and worship as God would have us to do in terms of our giving back to the Lord. So let's give thanks for God's blessings and the portions that we're going to give back to him. Father, you have really been gracious to us. You have blessed us abundantly in this physical life. We pray, Father, that we would give back to you as we have been prospered and that others will be blessed because of it. We thank you. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen. You know, so as we look down the road, you know, of all the blessings that God has given to us, my prayer is that as we look down just the short road for this next week, that God would be a tremendous blessing to you, that God would hold you in the hollow of his hands and that he would protect you. My prayer has been, since we began all this, is that God will build a hedge around us and that he will take care of us, and I know he will. That doesn't mean that we may not lose lives. But even if that happens, if we're faithful, then I know that it's a good thing. You know, the other day, Hugh Newcomb passed away. I was so sad. I loved Hugh. So many people love Hugh. He's such a good man in so many ways. And upon hearing of his passing, I said to Lori, and I know you've heard me say this probably a number of times, but I said to Lori, I said, you know, today is such a sad day for Linda and for Kathy and for their families at the loss of a dad and a granddad and a friend. But you know what? Last Monday was Hugh's happiest day. And it was a happy day for him because when he was a young boy, he looked down the road in hope of the resurrection one day and the hope of eternity. And that's what we all need to be doing. So may God bless you as you live in hope, as you shelter in peace. God bless you.